The Science Show on RN. So much for the bright idea. What about its application, or translation as they call it these days? Could this be taught even at the undergraduate level? Well, it can, and it is, at Rice University in America, at a design kitchen. This is Professor Maria Oden.
Sure. The Design Kitchen is an engineering design facility for undergraduate students from all engineering disciplines at Rice. And in the Design Kitchen, we have about 60 team tables. So student teams can check out a table for the semester or for the year, and it becomes their workspace. Surrounding these tables are rooms full of prototyping equipment, machine shop, tools, supplies that they can use to start realizing their designs relatively quickly and easily.
So they can invent almost anything?
They can invent almost anything. We are in Houston, Texas, so we tend to have a lot of projects are in the area of energy and sustainability, medical technologies, because we're right across the street from the medical center. Community engagement kinds of projects are particularly also interesting for the students as well.
What sort of things they come up with? Give me some examples.
Sure. So we have a lot of students working in the area of global health technologies, where they're working with partners in low resource settings to design technologies that are appropriate for that setting, particularly in the area of healthcare. So they might design a device such as a bubble CPAP device that is extremely low cost compared to the technologies that are used in the developing world.
That's for treating apnea, you mean?
That's for treating respiratory distress syndrome in premature babies. So what it does is it supports their breathing by inflating their lungs and making it very easy to breathe. These babies can breathe on their own, but they don't have the strength to do it day in and day out while their lungs are fully developing.
Okay, so they're the inventions. How do they realize those inventions in terms of what actually happens in the marketplace?
The first thing that happens is at the design kitchen, they make a prototype. And then they'll test the prototype to make sure that it works as intended. Usually at that point, they also then go out and show the technology to some potential users. They get feedback. Most of the time, they find out that what they designed actually doesn't work the way they wanted it to work. And so they keep at it. And what they do is they add features. They refine it. And then over time, they end up with, certainly in the medical side, maybe a clinic-ready unit where they can start doing an initial clinical trial. Do that trial. If that is successful, then they go out and get more funding and can really turn it into a program where the technology gets delivered.
This is all as undergraduates in 2 or 3 years?
It is as undergraduates. Sometimes the students will graduate during the process, and then we need to work on ways of keeping them engaged. Sometimes that means finding new students. Other times that means finding a source of income for a student that wants to stick with it so that they can ultimately take this product to market.
What about the most difficult part, which is having got the invention and the idea, actually having the entrepreneur who's going to make something happen in a difficult world where there are all sorts of laws, all sorts of blockages and confounding problems that really mean that an awful lot of ideas don't get up?
It's very, very difficult, actually. I think we are fortunate at the university level to have organizations such as an organization called NCIIA, which promotes inventorship in students, and so they can give them some seed grants and particularly some advice on how to move forward. Some of our technologies that have gone further than the classroom, also where we've gotten the students to engage with a commercial partner, someone who already knows how to get technologies out and can provide real critical advice. And so sometimes it makes even more sense to take the idea and then license it to someone who has gone on to create business in other ways. And often our students then get hired by those businesses and are able to keep working on the project.
What happened far afield, even in Malawi?
In Malawi, we had a student team that designed a bubble CPAP device that helps babies breathe. It turns out that Malawi has the world's highest rate of prematurity at 18%. So there's a really big need for this particular technology. What happened was the students started with a device that looked a little bit like a shoebox, and it was kind of ugly, but it did do the job. It had the right pressures and flows, and they were able to prove that it matched pressures and flows from the CPAP system at Texas Children's Hospital. They took it to Malawi. The doctors wanted to use it. We said, you can't use it quite yet. We need to make sure we do all the testing. We got feedback about what was good, what was terrible about the device. The students then redesigned it into a clinic-ready unit, went out, found funding to do an initial clinical trial, did the clinical trial, showed significant improvement in survival for these babies. And so now we've been able to get a USAID grant to put this CPAP technology in every government hospital in the country of Malawi.
And what was it like for them dealing with a completely different culture?
A really big challenge, actually. Things happen at a different pace in a different culture. Some of the students actually moved to Malawi while we were doing the clinical trial. And what's been so beneficial for them is that they've been able to engage with the Ministry of Health and the government to really understand how is it that we take this technology to the government hospitals. So rather than moving into the government hospitals without the support of the government, we're actually doing it within the government structure. And that's been a real learning experience for the students, because things may not have happened as quickly, but we firmly believe that they'll stay longer after we leave if we do it from within the government.
Those young people who go out and become entrepreneurs and try it in the marketplace, do they come back to the university and share their wisdom?
Absolutely. So we try to get them back and to talk to other current students. We hold them up as examples of what can happen. Often these former students see holes in their education where they would like to then go back and perhaps get an MBA or a master's in public health or other degrees that can help support what they're doing. One of the students in the Bubble CPAP project, who is no longer a student anymore, she moved to Malawi. She's been working on the clinical trials. She's now coming back to the United States, and she thought she was going to get an MBA. But then our commercial manufacturing partner said to her, I can give you that education if you come work for me, working on the business aspects of the technology that you developed. So in 3 years since she's graduated, she's taken a technology that she designed as an undergraduate student. It is now being scaled up countrywide in Malawi. Now she's going to go work at the commercial manufacturer to really think about how does this turn into the business, particularly with a low cost item. We're trying to take an item that costs in the U.S. between $8,000 and $30,000 and sell it at a profit and make it reasonable at, let's say, $400 in a very low resource setting. So the issues there are really big.
Indeed. The issues generally in Australia and America are really that it pays to be old-fashioned, not to do anything for the first time, and just to tweak what's already there and not do something disruptive or risky. How do you get past that blockage?
That is very true, particularly in medical technologies, where adding a single feature is the new line of product. And what we try to do is create low-cost technologies that are appropriate for low-resource settings. And we say to the students, this does not mean take an existing technology and remove features until it's cheap enough. This means think about this technology in a whole new way. So, for example, the Bubble CPAP system uses pumps to deliver a pressurized flow of air. We said to the students, whatever pump you choose, it has to run continuously for years on end without breaking, because in the environment where you're working, getting repair and getting supplies to do the repair is really a challenge. So they looked around and they found some pumps that were designed to work for years on end without repair, aquarium pumps. And they put these aquarium pumps into the CPAP device. We've had some CPAPs in a hospital in Malawi for almost 2 years. They've needed some very slight repair on a diaphragm on the pump. It's a little device that's about a dollar, and that's it. And it's been able to be repairable in the field.
Isn't that interesting? So what finally would be your advice to other universities around the world to follow your example? How would you do it, and has it been done already?
I have two really big pieces of advice. One is find partners where you truly listen to the feedback that they give you. Sometimes we in developing countries might tend to design something and think that we have all the answers and go somewhere, and then we're disappointed when it's not picked up. I think the critical aspect is having the right partnership. And the second piece is that you really need to design novelty for the particular use. You can't take a technology that works in our hospitals and simply remove features and think that that's going to be appropriate for another environment.
And of course, publish your results, she says. Maria Oden is Professor of Bioengineering at Rice University in Texas, and I'm pleased to say that we too are building a similar design kitchen for students at the University of Technology in Sydney under Professor Roy Green. We shall go to see it when their Frank Gehry designed building opens.